The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Okay, I'm here. We made it. And let me just say, I think we all learned a valuable lesson here tonight, especially if you are a newer fan to our crazy sport of mixed martial arts. No matter how a card is going, from the beginning to the co-main event, you stick it through. Because if you stuck this one through, you were treated to two ultra-violent finishes, including Yuri Prochazka. I thought he killed Dominic Reyes. I thought he actually killed the man with that spinning back elbow. That was absolutely ferocious. Yuri Prochazka is about to fight for a UFC title in his third fight. This is unbelievable. What a crazy ending to UFC Vegas 25. And we are here to talk to all of you all about this crazy card. Wow. I don't even have any more words to say about that finish from Yuri Prochazka. That was a crazy ass fight. I think we get a fight of the year front runner. I think we have a knockout of the year front runner, and it's just May 1st right now. Unbelievable. Anyways, I am Mike Heck, being joined right now by Jose Youngs.
What's up, guys? I'm also Andrew Ruiz just won.
Oh,
so everyone will know. People were excited for that, and that fight was bananas. So after this, go read all of our stuff at MMAfighting.com. And then go watch the highlights of that fight, because that fight was bananas and a lot closer than it should have been.
Yeah, I saw that Ruiz got dropped in the second round, and then this main event started, and good God. Casey Lyon.
Ariola was 50-1, and he was winning the fight at one point.
combat sports. You just never know what you're going to get. Casey's here. I don't know if AK's here yet.
No, I'm here. AK's goofing off, probably doing work and
writing articles, yes. All right, Casey, you nailed this one. Yuri Prochazka gets it done. And what's crazy about that fight is he looked so good in the first. Reyes kept throwing heaters at him, was landing big shots, and Prochazka was just like, okay. He would like point at him every once in a while. And then the second round, Reyes stung him, had him on doing the chicken dance, and Reyes decided, nope, I'm just going to jump on him, get this thing to the ground. When he could have stepped back, maybe the fight would have gone a little differently, but Prochazka showing excellent strides on the ground, beat up Reyes. Reyes got back to his feet, and then all hell broke loose once again, and Prochazka finished this fight as violently as you could possibly imagine. What did you think of Yuri Prochazka's performance tonight? Is just, this is unbelievable.
I've been on the Yuri kind of train for a little bit, and even I'm continually shocked by how exciting and violent his fights are. I mean, if his chin is that durable, oh my goodness, I cannot wait for him I mean, he's just going to be so hard to beat. And, I mean, he absolutely had to earn a title shot tonight. I know everyone's like, oh, two UFC fights. Man, screw that. He's fought plenty of dudes. The guy came in ready to fight for a title. We saw it against Volkan, deaded Volkan, deaded Reyes, and he's fighting for the title next. And I was just kind of laughing to myself when, like, Bisping, he was like, oh, you can't fight with your hands down like that. I was like, dude, the guy is one fight away from fighting for a title, fighting that way. That's what got him to the dance. That's what's going to get him to, you know, the title shot. Let the man fight that way. Is this the smartest, you know, way to fight, considering how many shots he was taking? I mean, that chin won't hold up forever like that. But until his chin goes, good God, man, Jiří is going to be one tough cookie to beat. Ooh, so exciting.
Jose, like, I can't even describe it. Like, dude, Dominic Reyes after finish? That first round.
Go watch.
Just the whole thing.
Shout out to our good friend, Jeff Bitari, who was about, like, if you haven't seen the photo, I just tweeted it out. He was like an inch away from the blow. Dominic Reyes looks dead. And like, dead. And I know we love Esther, and I think she's the best of the best, but I would put Jeff right there behind her. And my God, did he capture just, you want to see a dead body type of moment? But yeah, Jiří, I mean, I was tweeting it out. I'm like, I don't know how this guy is eating these punches. Like, his ability to just say F it and just start flailing around, and not just flailing, but like connecting with 1,000 different punches, is terrifying. And the fact that he didn't get tired, he was taking damage, but doling out damage, is horrifying. It's like classic Tony Ferguson style, where nothing he's doing should be working, but it is, and it's working so violently. And like, we all agree, Dominic Reyes is an elite fighter, like one of the best fighters on planet Earth. Anthony Pettis is the same thing. Rafael Dos Anjos, same thing. Tony Ferguson is beating those guys, and I'm watching the highlights on my TV right now, that's why I'm looking up. And he's beating them, and you're like, how is this guy doing what he's doing, and why is it working? That's the vibe I got from Jiří Prochazka, where after the first round, I'm like, oh, he can't keep this up for four more rounds. And then he just decapitated a human being on national television. And imagine if this fight was on ABC. Come on.
I know.
Bananas fight.
Look who's here.
And like I said at the beginning, like, I was watching the Andrew Ruiz Ariola fight, and then I was also watching the UFC. I'm like, wow, but like, because remember we were talking about, like, the Triller was the same day as Whitaker Gastelum. I'm like, God, just the worst card for counter-programming.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the Andrew Ruiz-Ariola fight started. In the first two rounds, I was like, oh, this is the same thing. The UFC has terrible luck with counter-programming major, like, high-level. Like, this is high-level boxing. Mm-hmm. And then this main event happened, or Gage Jakadze, and then the main event happened. I was like, all right, night saved. But, my God, Jiří is a horrifying man. I completely get if he wants the title shot next and the UFC wants to have him wait. But if Glover and Jan are fighting in September and Jiří wants to get in another one quick and get another paycheck, I wouldn't hate if him and Rachik were the co-main event of that card, just so Jiří or Rachik could be the standby. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know how we talked about that in Houston when they booked Corey Anderson and Jan the week after, and we were like, why is this not the co-main so they can all be on the same timeline? So, main event, title fight, co-main event, number one contender fight / standby, light heavyweight division is very exciting now.
Hi, AK. How are you, my friend?
Oh, hello, everyone. What a main event that was.
What a
main event. That was something else.
That is an understatement. Jesus.
Can you explain to me, AK, and like, we saw this throughout the fight, like within the first minute, Dominic Reyes looked like he got hit with a sledgehammer at the end of that first round. Like, it was brutal. And somehow, even after he got wobbled and in big trouble, Jiří Prochazka actually looked better. Like, when the fight was over, like, his face looked better. It was like shinier. It just looked better. Like, how is this possible?
I think he's got that BJ Penn skin. I think it's like he doesn't bleed. It doesn't crack. Like you said, the punches almost like sandpaper, but that's not right. I'm buffing. Sorry, the punches are almost buffing his face. They're buffing his lovely face, and as you said, kind of having him come out even fresher than he did before. He sort of said in the interview with Paul Felder afterwards that he was kind of like, oh, you know, he wished he hadn't gotten hit so much. And so then But I just said, Mike, you almost couldn't tell. You know, the guy is an anomaly. He's an enigma. I mean, whatever, you know, word you want to use for saying this guy is one of a kind. He's almost the evolutionary Keith Jardine as far as people saying like, oh, his style, like it doesn't look like it should work. And it's like, how is he landing some of these strikes from the angles he's throwing from? But he's got a lot more power than I think Jardine used to have. And again, I think the technique is even more evident. I think I was still surprised. We were talking about this before the show that the commentary during the Ozdemir fight last time, they were kind of like, oh, what's this guy doing? You know, he's getting us into trouble. And I thought they were done with that. But even tonight, they were like, oh, he should get his hands up and it looks cool. But I mean, is he really effective? And he was like lighting Reyes up. And I'm like, what are they talking about? His style is what it is. I mean, you might want to say no one else should try it. But for Jiří Procházka, it is clearly the perfect style. It's kick-ass style, which you can't argue against.
I would give all four bonuses to Jiří Procházka. You got to give Giga Chikadze, obviously, one of the bonuses. But these are probably the easiest bonuses we've ever picked. It's Giga, it's Jiří, and then the fight of the night is
main event.
Jiří and Reyes.
Yeah. It's Jiří for
Kamaka and Brown. Or for Kamaka.
Yeah, Kamaka Brown. Yeah, seriously.
Poor Kamaka. Jeez, gets screwed over. And I feel bad. Oh, that fight, was that fight today?
You can say it.
I feel bad for Brown because that was an amazing fight, but he didn't win the fight.
Yeah, it was a great fight. Great effort.
Yeah, what's funny about that whole thing is Eric Nixick was not happy with the judges. And then after Giga Chikadze finished Cub Swanson, Eric Nixick goes on, he goes, Adelaide Bird still scored the round for Cub Swanson. But Adelaide Bird was the one judge who gave it, who gave the 30-27 to Kamaka.
Delete the tweet. I know. I get the joke, but you missed it. You missed
it. I saw a bunch of people saying that, though. I saw a lot. I mean, I tweeted out immediately. I said, I think Adelaide Bird got this one right. And I saw a lot of people, not in response to me, just in general in the line, saying like, oh, Adelaide Bird struck again. And I couldn't tell if they just didn't agree with the 30-27 call, or they just assumed that she scored a 30-27 for Brown. Because, again, look, we give Adelaide Bird a lot of criticism. I think a lot of it justified. I think she was at least, even if you don't agree with the 30-27, I think she picked that fight right. I think Kamaka won, and she had the 30-27 Kamaka. So let's give Adelaide Bird a little bit of a break tonight, I think.
Yes, and we have a robbery review, I assume, coming.
Yes.
Forthcoming, AK.
I think we have to.
The people have demanded it. So, at this point, real quick,
I love the comments coming in from everyone watching and stuff. But guys, stop saying Dominic Reyes sucks or he's got a glass chin or all that crap. That's just some. You guys are being just crappy MMA fans, just bad MMA fans. He fought in a freaking war tonight and he lost. That's all that happened. He lost to maybe the best 205er in the world. We don't know yet, but. That's all. Don't stop saying that Dom Reyes sucks. You guys are just being jerks. That's all. I just gotta get that out of my system.
I don't care
who you are.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are. You're getting knocked out by that spinning back elbow. Yeah. I mean, that was clean.
And Reyes landed a lot of shots that I think would have dropped or at least wobbled a lot of other light heavyweights, but not Procházka. And again, not just because Procházka has a great chin. I do think he has a gift also for sort of slipping shots and making, you know, sort of almost like Anderson Silva used to do, where it's like it looked like it landed clean, but if he knows what he's doing and probably didn't land as cleanly as we thought. So that kind of gift. But again, I thought this card like was good. I thought we all said on paper, this looks like a lot of competitive fights, and we got a lot of competitive fights, and there's maybe a couple of snoozers, but that's okay. That happens on every, like a lot of any MMA card. I don't want to say UFC, like any MMA card. So I actually thought this card was really good, but thankfully it was capped off by two super exciting like finishes.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's tough when the first fight is really good and really interesting, because the first fight of the night between Luke Sanders and Kolaris was crazy. And then like, it's hard to like follow that up. And I think that's what a lot of these fighters had to deal with. And then we had like the one finish before the co-main event was the DQ.
Obviously, we don't call that a finish, right?
That's a finish.
It's not even technically a finish. Is it a finish? I mean, the fight finished. It's not a stoppage.
And then we had a split draw. Right. And it's like, oh man, like this is just a wild night. And then, of course,
Marcus Pinheiro was really exciting, I think, up until that horrible foul. That was looking like it was going to be a really good fight as well.
Which fight?
The Pinheiro Marcos fight. That was a good fight up until the DQ.
I thought Marcos was going to say she couldn't see. I thought they were going to wave it off then.
She had a big old cut on her eye, on her eyelid too. I was like, dang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm sure we'll get to that later, but yeah.
There's just so much to talk about.
I mean, I saw people griping about the card. I thought for a fight night, I thought it was an above average fight night for sure. I thought it was a good fight night on paper, and I thought it delivered. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. Listen,
agree.
We had UFC 261 a week ago. Following that is like impossible.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought, all things considered, this one did a pretty damn good job. Obviously, Prochazka's got options. If he wants to come back and take another fight, he can. If he wants to wait and fight for the belt, he can certainly do that. For Dominic Reyes, coming out of this one, he's lost three in a row. This was a bad knockout. This is one of the worst, like just one of the worst knockouts, just from a aesthetic perspective that you're going to see in the sport. I mean, it was just violent. He was down. It took him a while to get back to his feet. At this point, Casey, let me ask you this. Do we give him the Calvin Kattar treatment right now? We don't want to see him for a while, like keep him out maybe the rest of the year after a knockout like that. Like, he's been knocked out viciously two fights in a row. Yeah. This one was really bad. Do we kind of just slow roll him and let him take the rest of the year off?
Yeah, well, it's going to be at least 6 months for sure. I mean, getting knocked out of, I mean, first of all, it wasn't like a flash knockout. Say like when Wei Li got knocked out last week. Was that last week?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. when Wei Li got knocked out, you know, that was kind of a flash knockout. And since there wasn't a lot of, you know, concussive brain damage, you know, it's just one shot really. But no, Reyes just took, you know, a full round of that beating, and then a lot way into the second round took a big beating. And just because he has such a, you know, a giant heart, you know, and just could continue fighting. But getting hit of an elbow like that, that's hard, man. It's a bad loss to your body. Yeah, that's gonna be a while for him to come back. I hope, man. Don Reyes, he's just a decent dude, you know. And man, I feel bad for Don Reyes. I mean, I was picking Yuri, but these guys are humans, you know. They're people. They have lives. They have families, friends, you know. That looked bad. That looked bad. That's a mean elbow. Mean elbow.
I just went to the UFC news Twitter page just to see if the bonuses popped up. I mean, we already know what they're probably going to be. And I just saw the photo that Jose was talking about of Prochazka landing that elbow. Oh my God. Go look at that picture. It's insane.
Well, dude, just a week ago, we were talking about knockout of the year. And then look at this, you know, this is right. I mean,
this is the knockout of the year.
I have no idea. And they're all right there.
I mean, yeah, I mean, listen, if we're talking about like Usman has like the one punch knockout of the year, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, a spinning back elbow, only been three of these in UFC history. Whew. Good God. That was something else.
And that's a proper technique too. That's actually just regular Muay Thai technique. As soon as you kind of come off, you kind of have your back to the guy, just swing that elbow around. And Reyes when you're beat up for that long, he just wasn't mentally there to go. As soon as that back turns of your opponent, you know, hands up all the time. That was almost reminiscent of, I know it wasn't elbow, but I think of like King Mo and Emmanuel Newton, you know, kind of just backing away and just throwing that back fist, you know. It's just, I love spinny shit.
Does that mean Yuri's gonna get really into the Illuminati now?
I'm pretty sure. That's what happened. I'm pretty sure the Illuminati is in his antenna. I'm sure that's where the Illuminati lives.
Because that's what happened to Emmanuel Newton after he got that knockout.
Yeah.
Casey, did you enjoy all the Christoph Jocko spinning stuff we saw? Because he was throwing some wild techniques out. Some of them landed. I think he almost kind of hit the Yair elbow.
He did land it. That was cool. But
he was throwing some stuff. He was throwing some stuff. But he had to.
It was stuff. I'll call it stuff. Yeah, we'll call it that.
he knew he was technically, like, Strickland was technically better strike. So I love that he's just like, you know what, I'm not going to get picked apart here. I'm just going to throw stuff out and whatever. If he loses, he ended up losing a decision anyway. It would have been the same if he tried to have, like, conservative, you know, striking style. And I love that. There was really some really enjoyable fights tonight.
Yeah.
The bonuses are out. They are what we thought they were. Fight of the night, main event, performances of the night, Prochazka and Giga Chikadze. Mm. 50 G's for those gentlemen, 100 G's for Yuri. So I guess, like, for Dominic Reyes, like, if there is a silver lining, you got an extra 50 G's. But, man, hopefully he comes back and, you know, he's all good. And obviously positive vibes to Dominic Reyes after that fight.
Yeah, just for his health. What about I know career wise he's bummed out, but I'm actually worried about Dom's health. I think that was a beating, you know, just, and to go out like that for a guy that tough, when they go out, that means they got hit hard. Good God.
Yeah. Sorry. That was a brutal one.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Let us talk about Giga Chikadze. Finishes Cub Swanson in just over a minute. I mean, come on. Thank you. That's all I needed. Listen, I'm wrong sometimes.
Sometimes?
This time I was on the island. I didn't expect Giga to stop Cub Swanson. I thought Giga would win a decision. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't see him finishing Cub in a minute. But here we are. Giga Chikadze gets a big win. What did you think, Jose?
I mean, I'm a big mark for Giga Chikadze. Didn't think that would happen. Did I know he was capable of it? 100%. But man, I picked Cub to win just because I thought, like, strength of competition. And I just showed you that every fight is different, because Giga Chikadze, what, didn't he start his UFC career with like two split decisions, victories? And then he even fought like a bantamweight in Jacksonville on short notice, and he fought that guy to a decision. And then he just got his first stoppage win, his last fight, and then he beats Cub Swanson faster and more dominantly than he did in any of his other previous fights. So the man's only getting better. I tweeted I want to see him fight the winner of Burgos and Barbosa very badly. Don't know if that will happen. He called out Cater or Holloway. Don't know if that will happen. I think Cater's obviously a more realistic opponent, but I still think Cater might be a little higher up in the rankings. But if Cater just wants to get back in there against a red-hot opponent, then F it. Giga Chikadze is literally, he's speaking on my TV right now as we speak. So, Giga Chikadze rules, and I can't wait to see who he fights next, and I hope it's against a high-level striker that can match him technique for technique.
Yeah, Giga took the old college application approach with his call-outs. Like, he shot for Max Holloway, but then, like, Calvin Kattar was, like, his backup school, like the University of Calvin Kattar. And, I mean, he's probably not going to get either of those fights. I mean, because Kattar, we probably won't see him till late fall, early winter, November maybe. We'll see what happens. I'm hoping to get a chance to see those fine folks a week from today. That's the plan at this point. So maybe we'll get an update on Calvin and all that fun stuff. But I like what your, a performance from Giga Chikadze.
I like your suggestion, Mr. Heck, you put out there earlier.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. Okay, so I know me and AK do the matchmaking thing, but and maybe this won't happen now, but I feel like featherweight isn't quite where bantamweight is, but I think it's pretty damn close. Like you got the heads up top, you got the Holloways and the Volkan.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Mr. Heck, your Wi-Fi is.
No, the internet has betrayed us.
Oh no. AK, take over. What was he going to say?
He was about to take us on a journey. Oh, there's
Mike. You're back.
Heck. You're back. Okay.
You're taking. Yes. You started the journey. Continue.
A matchmaking journey.
Yeah, yes. I don't know. Now. Yes. Giga versus Zabit. I don't know if that's going to happen based on reports from Russia, because I guess Zabit's leaning towards retirement, perhaps.
I was going to say. I was going to wait if someone asked a question about Zabit specifically, but word around the Russian media when we were on Fight Island is like that was probably going to happen. I'm honestly surprised the Zabit news came out so late, because on Fight Island, they were like, Zabit's never going to fight again. That's what all the Russian media was saying then. So my lean towards him not fighting in the UFC ever again, unfortunately.
In the UFC, or is he retiring?
Retiring. Okay. Apparently, the thing was he saw, and this is what a bunch of them told me is, Zabit saw how much Habib's life changed, and the fame terrified him. Like he just saw how like he couldn't leave his house without being recognized, and he goes, "This is not what I want in my life."
Wow,
crazy! That's some serious deep look within themselves to make a decision like that.
If that's true, anyways, I respect that so much. Yeah,
absolutely. But the suggestion I put out on Twitter, if you guys miss it, is, and I know I'm sure we're not going to see this now because they don't like to put two prospects up against each other, especially two guys like this. But sometimes you just got to see what happens. And I would love to see a stylistic matchup between Giga Chikadze and Bryce Mitchell. Like that would just be a sick fight. Hmm. Like the striking of Chikadze, and I know Mitchell just fought Andre Feely, and Andre Feely's a very good striker in his own right, but ain't Giga Chikadze. Giga Chikadze is an elite level kickboxer, and then Bryce Mitchell is just a suffocation machine on the mat. So I'd love to see how Giga would do it. And Giga fought Jamal Emmers and had to deal with that in his second UFC fight, and Emmers is a tough matchup for a lot of these guys at 145, so I get that. It was a split decision. A lot of people thought Jamal Emmers won that fight. I thought Jamal Emmers won that fight. But at this point, after a win like that, I would be really interested to see what that matchup would look like. I'm leaning more towards what Jose is thinking. I think we're going to see the winner of Barboza Burgos fight Giga Chikadze. But, oh, what about Ryan Hall? That would be interesting, too. We don't know what the hell's happening with him. We don't know if the Aliyah Taporia fight is a real thing or not. We haven't been able to confirm Ryan Hall's side of that fight. So I don't even know if that fight's happening. But if it's not.
I like it. I like
an option.
I like it. I just want Ryan Hall to fight. I don't care who. But referring back to your internet issues, Suzanne.
I need that AOL. I need that AOL landline stuff.
See, AK knows what's going on. AK knows what's up.
Yeah, I see. You get it.
But damn good win for Giga Chikadze. Super impressive stuff. Gets it done. He wanted the name. He wanted the step up. He got it and he delivered, man. It's all you can ask for.
Oh, I just would say a super highly technical kick. Set it up at the high roundhouse. Then went to the body. It was just great. And then it was very similar to a, I don't know if all the fans remember Kakuno. He fought in Dream. That Kakuno kick, that kind of hits the ball of the ball of the foot right at the kind of kidney rib area. And those things hurt so much. They're really actually hard to kick because if you throw the kick, it just kind of feels unnatural and it feels like it can break your toes when you kick into the body like that. But if you do it right, it hurts so much. And a year and a half ago, I was up at Jackson's in Albuquerque, and they were kicking me like over and over just to try out the kick. And the next day, my entire body was just covered in bruises just from practicing the kick. So, and Cub's such a tough dude, you know, so, yeah, that is a vicious, now the Giga kick, but yeah.
I'd never heard him, Swanson, make a sound like that before. Cause there was like an audible, like he got hit. And it's in the Apex, of course, so you're going to hear, you know, we're back in the, you know, with no fans. Mm-hmm. I can't even replicate it. Yeah. But then
one more time,
you don't hear fighters. You don't hear fighters. I know I changed it every time. So, you know, put those three together and you had some idea of the sound that Cub made. You just don't hear fighters react like that. I mean, that's how you know it was. I really wish the referee had jumped in a little bit sooner because, I mean, Cub wasn't getting back up. You know, if Giga had backed up, I mean, it was going to be over. He didn't need to do the follow-ups, right? And I don't blame him. I'm not Giga. It's not Giga's fault. The fact that the referee didn't step in. If I'm Giga, I'm like, well, I can't take any chances to go on an end strike. But yeah, that's how accurate that was. And I think the fight was what, 63 seconds? I think breaking down those seconds would be really fun. Yeah, but it's going to be really fun breaking those down, like you said, how he set it up. Because a lot happened, actually, in that first minute. Just looking at, like, what they both, like, you know, again, like you said, his movement and how he set everything up. It was a beauty to watch.
Yeah, he's just so good from the outside. And if you can't get in there, man, he'll just pick you apart like that all night long. Apparently, Giga is calling out everybody. He said Max. Now he wants to fight next week. And even added Yair Rodriguez's name to the mix. So,
ooh, Giga Yair, that is an excellent fight too. Do you think Giga's gonna be one of those guys that because he obviously wants to fight someone ahead of him, you know, ahead in the rankings. Who do you think's willing to take that fight though, to fight someone, you know, that risky, basically, you know, high risk, low reward?
That'd be a guy. That is coming off an L that's still highly ranked, like a Calvin Kattar, that or like what like a Dominic Reyes against Jiri. Like, Jiri is so dangerous and unknown, but he's coming off back-to-back losses that he can't afford to say no at that point in his career. It's got to be something like that. Kattar's probably the guy. It's just not gonna happen.
AK, real quick. Can you block?
No, this? We're not. We gotta start ignoring it.
He
just wants this child just wants attention.
I'm gonna fill you in on how the millennials talk. Pretty much anyone born post 1990 just wants attention, and they're gonna say whatever they want to get attention. So you did yourself a disservice by giving this individual attention, because now he won't do it. That is how social media works. A lot of people tweet nonsense because what do they want, gentlemen?
Oh, man.
Attention. So don't give it to them. If anyone else born pre-1990 needs another lesson in how the internet works, Professor Jose Young is here to help.
You have gone in on social media today, and I applaud it. I mean, I think you've spoken a lot of truths today, sir. But Casey, regarding who would take a fight with Giga, I mean, buddy, you just need a savage. You know what I mean? You need a savage. Hey. You know who's taking that call? One, Jeremy Stevens. Like I said, he's available. I'm just saying, he kind of freed himself up. I heard he had a fight recently and it fell through for whatever reason. So I'm just saying, he's ready to fight. I bet he'd be ready to fight next week.
He is a savage. That's what savages do. He's a savage. They fight every
week. Yeah, so they obviously announced the Arizona card today, and I thought the Jakar Close, Jeremy Stevens, would be a perfect ESPN headliner, because Jakar obviously trains here in Phoenix. But if Jakar is not ready to come back, Giga Jeremy Stevens on ESPN as a featured prelim.
When is that? What's the date for that?
June 12th. So it is. So yeah, don't worry, Casey. It's the week after Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather, so you won't have to miss that.
Oh, man.
Crisis averted.
Yeah, Jakar. When I spoke with Jakar, by the way,
we've mentioned
July
both
or
Paul
August.
Brothers now.
We did.
Yeah, and we just saw a comment that's they want to see Josh Fabia against Jack Paul. Whoever.
Oh, excellent.
The stepbrother.
Can I read this? Paul. Can I read this brilliant tweet that I just want to follow? I'm sorry, it's not fire related, but I want to follow up on Jose's. I think he's hitting stick here, and I know we do a lot of these shows, and this is going to get lost in the ether. But there was a tweet from a guy named Ed Lattimore. This is earlier this week, where he said, a lot of people are a-holes, he didn't say a-hole, on Twitter because they're dealing with unresolved trauma. Here, their words cause a reaction that gets them attention they can't get in their real life. And attention and love look the same to someone not used to receiving either. So I'm not saying that's what happened with today's troll, but I think that's kind of reflects sort of a lot of what Jose is saying. So something to think about. Think about that tweet.
Jen Michoud. What?
Oh, no. We're not naming names.
I did. No, I just have a place of love when I was saying it.
This is a place of love and understanding. You may want to get that cough checked out. This is a place of love and understanding where all are welcome.
We needed like the old school NBC, The More You Know graphic in the background.
Yeah.
After you read that, AK. Bung, bung, yeah. Bung. Zombie versus Giga. That's fun.
Zombies booked against Dan Ige.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the matchup they both wanted.
We know that. Yeah.
Featherweight thumps. Anything between 135 and 170 absolutely rules right now.
Yeah, I can't wait for that featherweight title fight in 2023.
Man. And bantamweights again today. Freaking yo, Merab and Cody. God, what a competitive, what a high level, just super competitive fight. Like,
stop skipping the fight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were okay. I broke the format of the show. Mike, get us back on track. I apologize. Mike, get us back on track. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we talked about the co-main event. We got the split draw. Iwan Kutalaba, Dustin Jacoby. There you have it.
Did we agree with the split draw?
I scored a draw.
So did I.
I'm fine with the draw.
But that first round had to be a 10-8, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I had 10-8 and then 10-9, 10-9.
Only one judge did it. Only one judge gave him a 10-8.
Yeah. I scored the third round for Kutalaba, but I probably wasn't paying attention.
It was competitive. I think I would have given Jacoby the last two, but I don't think that's crazy at all.
Okay. I thought, because I saw everyone had it. 28-28 or I have no issue with that. But what I do have an issue with is while I'm not one of those I hate draws, what sucks is the UFC, and this is just promoters in general, not just UFC in particular, they treat it like a loss in the sense that they only get paid their show money. So the UFC is just saved a buck too. So that kind of sucks. So when draws are, fine, but they go home like it's a loss. So that sucks.
Yeah. Here's my one issue with the scores. And it wasn't like the 29-28 was somewhat egregious for Kutalaba. It wasn't a disaster scorecard. Giving Iwan Kutalaba the second round was disastrous.
No way he won the second round. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what the judge who scored it for Kutalaba gave him 1 and 2.
Oh, that's a bad score then. Okay. That's a bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a third round that was kind of a toss up, we thought. But, and if the first round was a 10-8. So, see if Rob Tatum was a judge, easy 10-8.
Mike Bisping's favorite MMA Twitter personality, Rob Tatum. Shout outs to Rob Tatum.
No, everyone likes
Good
Rob.
For Rob. Rob got the rub. So yeah, that was a draw. Fun. It seemed like we even got a glove touch at the beginning of the third round after all the hostility at the face-offs. So that was nice to see. It looks like they have squashed the beef, but they should just run that damn thing back because that was fun. Sean Strickland, good win over Christoph Jocko.
Does it move him? I think he kind of stays the same, whatever ranking he was. I don't think it really, it just kind of, all right, it happened. You got a win, got a nice paycheck, but I don't think did we learn anything from Strickland?
That was
Did he not talk much tonight? Am I crazy? Was he not talking?
No, he was much more subdued all around.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Like even the post fight interview, like remember we were talking about his goofy like post fight interview with Bisping? He was pretty much just like, I'll fight whoever. Like that's all he said. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, at least make us hate you. Say something that makes us want to watch him fight.
I think Strickland
I love being a UFC fighter is what he said. I love being a UFC fighter. I wake up every day and I'm just like, oh, thank you. Thank you for making me a UFC fighter.
I think Strickland's kind of in that kind of middle area where like he wants to kind of talk shit and you know do that thing, but then it just comes out very awkward. And I don't know, it's like just be your kind of weird bro-y awkward self, Mr. Strickland. That's the way to go. Don't fake trash talk or anything, or like, you know, Brendan Allen took the coward's way out by heel hooking a gentleman. You know, no, just, I was on your side, John Strickland. He said something, but no, good win. I still don't. You know, people asked earlier, you know, is John Strickland a future title contender? Nothing I saw tonight kind of said that, but clearly he's a quality middleweight, and it seems like he's coming to that frame very well.
Yeah, he should fight a ranked guy. He's ranked. He's 15 right now. He should fight somebody else top 15 next.
Maybe, sure. I'd say I like the Jacare, the winner of Jacare and his opponent, or the winner of who's Brad Tavares fighting? Akhmedov, Amari.
Yeah,
aren't they like 14, 15, something like that? I think that would be a good scrap too. Yeah, I think that'd be a good scrap. Unfortunately, Brandon Allen's probably like ranked right below him. He's not gonna get that fight. Heinisch wouldn't be a bad fight either. That would just be a high action fight.
I like Heinisch, yeah.
I mean, there's an interesting 85 fight coming up next week too. Dacus and Phil Haas. Like if Dacus wins, Dacus and Strickland would be a pretty interesting fight.
Ooh, Dacus and Phil Haas. That's a cool fight. Yeah, I like that.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. But I like the middleweight division, you know, outside, you know, we kind of had this, not bottleneck, but we kind of, the top five guys were kind of the same. But no, now the 5 through 15 guys are starting to really shift around and starting to make some moves. So that's exciting.
And then kicking off the main card, AK, take this one, my man. Merab Dawalishvili gets a decision win over Cody Stamann.
It's amazing that Merab is already in that stage where he knows he has an A-plus skill, his wrestling. Like whoever he's fighting, he can always go to his wrestling and try and get out a win. So that's in the bank. He's, I think in the Dodson fight too, he also showed a bit of stand-up. So it's like he's having fun now and just like, well, I have this base and I can show some, you know, I can play around in the feet a little bit. You know, it's of course you never want him to get in that range where he gets away from his strength too much and gets like randomly knocked out by somebody. But his striking does look pretty good. You know, there's confidence. He's a good athlete. Stamann, I think, was the right test for him. Again, a solid striker, not an overwhelming striker. So if it was someone that he wanted to, again, he did want to try and show his striking with, that's the guy to do it. And also a good wrestler. So it's not like it's somebody he could totally dominate with his wrestling. I think he had 5 takedowns in total, which is a lot. But I believe it was Mike Carroll, statistician extraordinaire on Twitter, who said like that's the second least that Merab has had in a fight. So that would be like a career best for most people for Merab, 5 takedowns. Like that was an off day. But I mean, he wasn't trying to rely on his wrestling. And it was just a great scrap, you know, 135. We thought this would be a great matchup going in. And it just was so, again, I was already saying this earlier, so high level. I mean, you got to love this stuff. I thought it was such a fine opener. And I think Merab is the real deal. I mean, I'll be shocked if he never fights for a UFC title.
Yeah, it was a good fight. And again, I it was a tough read because, I mean, I felt like if Stamann was going to like take that risk, you know what I mean? Like, he's just not a risk taker. He's just not that guy that's just going to do anything out of the ordinary. Like, what you see is what you get. He's solid everywhere. He's a very good fighter. But he's just, I don't know. Like, if you made like a list of pros and cons for Cody Stamann, like, there's not a lot of cons. There's like none. He's just he's just a very good fighter. Like, he's a very technical fighter. He does everything right. But that next gear, for some reason, is just not there. Like, Merab is just a freak. You got to do some you have to have a special performance to beat that guy. You got to
do something
out of the ordinary.
Do you guys think Merab needs a finish before he really gets taken seriously by the matchmakers? Is like, because again, I think he's had some dominating wins, but I wonder, does he need that highlight reel, like just even like a ground and pound TKO or some like a powerful submission? Do you guys think he needs that before the matchmakers really go like, okay, let's elevate him to the top 10, let's give him a dominant cruise? Do you think that matters?
I think every fighter needs that before they get to that kind of those marquee names. Put him on a pay-per-view as a co-main or even as a fight night as a co-main. You know, he's not, he opened up ranking-wise, this should have been the co-main tonight Stamen and Merab, but it wasn't because the, like you said, the matchmakers, just as far as fan interest, they don't feel that the fan interest is there for those gentlemen, even though they're, you know, ranking wise outside of the main event, they shouldn't have been the co-main event. So yeah, Merab needs something. He needs a big finish. I mean, look at Habib. How many wins did Habib need before he started? He was like a prelim guy forever, you know. Usman yep. was a prelim guy forever, you know, or early fight night guy, you know. So yeah, he just, yeah, every fighter needs that kind of big win.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, one, bantamweight's tough.
And it's freaking bantamweight, the best division in the world too.
Yeah, I mean, and Casey Kenney got the Dominic Cruz fight, and I don't think he has any finishes in the UFC. He's a good fighter, but I don't think he's got any finishes.
I think he needs something like, because like you talked about Usman and Habib, and they like did the UFC favors a lot. Like when, like Habib would fight like what, Daryl Horcher on like 4 days notice just to stay on the card. Or like Usman cut weight, serves a backup, and then took fights against RDA and Damian Maya in like Chile, and then like a tough finale. So like he did the UFC's favors. So when the UFC, when Colby turned the fight down in January, they're like, okay, Usman did us, like, you want this? We know you'll say yes. You said yes to everything else. So he needs something like that to fall on his lap too. So the UFC can trust him, and then kind of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
The political side of the game he needs to work on.
And I think staying active is very important for him too, because he only fought once in 2019. He was active in 2020. Like, most people forget that he fought three times in 2020. He fought in February, he fought in June, and then he fought in August, and then he was off for 9 months. I mean, of course, you know, he was supposed to fight in December before Cody got injured. So that fight was off the table. Then he was supposed to fight Barzola, and then Barzola, who like couldn't get cleared by the commission because he had a medical suspension. So that was off. And then they rebooked the Stamen fight for February, and Merab caught like a gnarly bout of COVID, like a really bad one that put him on his ass for like a couple of weeks. He was in really bad shape. And then there we go. So yeah, if he can come back quick and run off another win or two, I think he can get some of those big fights. And I think he can get a top 10 fight right now. I think they're going to throw him a bone. I don't think he's going to get Dominic Cruz, but I think he'll get somebody in the top 10 next.
Cruz is sitting at 9.
I think Cruz already fought someone behind him. Now I think it's time for, you know, to fight back-to-back guys behind him for Cruz. But I threw out the name Frankie Edgar. Is that crazy?
I think Frankie's still recovering from getting kneed in the face.
How long ago was that? Give it 2 more months. I'm just saying. And Merab's not a knockout guy, you know. So I'm just tossing. You know,
you got the Long Island, New Jersey rivalry right there, I guess.
I'm excited about Merab.
I'd watch it.
And I think Merab.
Well, if we're exciting too.
I like his personality too. I mean, I know. Is that beard new? You had the beard tonight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the beard.
Bearded Merab.
Beard works. It works fun.
If we're going to give Dominic Cruz or Frank Yeager like 2 months to recover, why not just make the Dominic Cruz fight? Because they're like right next to each other in the rankings. Cruz Edgar.
Jose.
And then Merab.
Jose, that breaks, then, that breaks the golden rule.
I know. But a lot of rules were broken today. I bet he gets like a Sunsau or Munoz.
A Sunsau's got to fight.
Does that? That's right. Munoz, maybe.
Munoz makes sense.
Munoz is interesting.
Munoz, I think, is recovering from something because I don't think he turned the O'Malley fight down for some reason, and then O'Malley is apparently booked with someone else.
O'Malley's saying he's fighting Cruz, but we don't know if that's actually true or not. And from what I understand, and I believe our good friend James Lynch talked to Corey Sandhagen this past week, Sandhagen said he was, when Dillashaw was removed from the fight, the UFC offered him Pedro Munoz as a replacement for next Saturday, and Sandhagen said no, I want to wait for TJ, which is probably smart on his end.
Bantamweight rules, it's going to be so hard to match make a lot of these guys, like, because it's so many people that happen to fight down. Like, if you look at like the top 10, Sterling, current champ, Jan, former champ, Garbrandt, former champ, Aldo, former champ, Edgar, former champ, Cruz, former champ. Like, what's that? 6 former champions in the top 10. Someone's got to fight down.
Yeah, and Rob Font's about to fight Cody Garbrandt later on this month. So if he beats Cody Garbrandt, good Lord,
he's right there. Marlon still has to come back at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Aldo's still not matched up. Kyler Phillips is undefeated. Chito Vera is still out there kicking legs.
Kyler has a fight.
Does he?
Yeah, he is fighting. Hold on, I gotta see.
Is he not the one facing us?
He's fighting Rafael Santos.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Rob versus Jimmy Rivera is interesting.
Yeah,
but I know where
Jimmy Rivera just beat Stamen, so I that would make sense.
I know we're not on the questions portion of this show yet, but I just had to read it because I don't think we're gonna formally answer this question from Gino. Would MMA fighting even bother to do a post fight show next week? That card sucks. SUX. Oh come on, Gino. No, stop it. That's not. What is the card? Have they officially? I'm looking
at Wikipedia right now. The card next week. At all.
They didn't even. Oh, you're right. Wow.
Well, because, and someone else asked, I think.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I don't think the main event's official yet.
It's not official, right? We think it's going to be.
I thought Michelle Waterson did the little dance on her Instagram or TikTok, you know, main event.
Right.
I guess maybe she was just trying to make it happen.
Who's she supposed to be fighting?
Marina Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
Which is a great fight. And I don't know why people are crapping on it, but I get the letdown from thinking it's going to be TJ.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. Yeah.
And from what I understand, that fight will be at 125, not 115.
Which makes sense. Yeah. Yeah.
I think the short notice nature of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Why bother? Cerrone, do we think they find him an opponent?
Emil Meek.
Is that your pick or is that the rumor
that's
right
my,
now?
That's my pick.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah, I think that'd be a fun one. Yeah, that really helped.
Yeah, I control our MMA Fighting's Instagram page. Emil Meek has tagged us like every hour. Like he tags us, like Junkie, like ESPN, Ara Helwani. It's like I'll wake up and it's like Emil Meek has tagged you in 13 stories. I'm just like, Jesus, man. And it's just like, give me the fight.
Really hope he gets it. Oh, Neil. Oh, Neil O'Neil's next.
Oh, he was Angela Hill. Ben Rothwell's
fight. Good fights.
Gregor Gillespie.
Neil on Neil.
Yeah, Gregor Gillespie, Diego Ferrer. What? Bill Haas? Come on. Who put that crochet comment out there?
The crochet boss comes back.
We'll be talking about Bellator's card on Friday too, and what they'll have.
Yes,
we lost Romero Johnson. I don't want to talk about that.
PFL week three.
Yeah,
PFL. We will definitely be talking about.
Gregor Gillespie is fighting Diego Fajeda. That is a ridiculous fight.
That's good stuff.
Man, I don't know if this. I'm looking at Tapology, so I don't think this is the proper bout order. But man, I like.
They haven't announced the bout order yet.
Yeah. This fight night ruled. It was an awesome, awesome fight night with that original main event. Obviously, it's a really good fight night now. But
yeah. Oh, yeah, here, I mean, to answer your question on the Q&A, I believe AK. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but Adeshev. Fighting Ryan Benoit, 3-3 in his career. So he could be
3-3. Oh yeah. Yeah, yeah.
He just lost to Sumit Darja.
He like got off to a hot start with like Bellator and then was picked up by the very strange. I've never seen him with an arc like his. So very strange.
Yeah, he's 0-2 in the UFC.
Yeah.
And then on the Bellator card the day before. We're going to have, obviously, a great main event with Archuleta Pettis. Anthony Johnson's, you know, making his comeback against, you know, a victim. Patricky Pitbull, MVP, is back against a quality opponent with Derek Anderson. Patchy Mix has on the card. Henry Corrales is making his bantamweight debut.
We might do two post-fight shows next week. You know what? Let's do a Bellator one.
Lorenz Larkin is back. Come on.
He's fighting Rafael Carvalho.
Yeah. Let's talk about something stupid, though. Why is Lorenz Larkin not fighting Michael Venom Page? That is, to me, so I get both fights rule, but one of them should be fighting Lima and then the other, or fighting each other. Like, get it together, Scott Coker.
Look, Rich Chow leaves after, and everything goes to shit. they lose their matchmaker.
No, this was pre. Matchmaker leaving. You think Scott Coker and Rich Chow are going to give Michael Venom Page a hard fight? No, come on.
Derek Anderson's a good step up, though.
I love that fight. I love Michael Venom Page, Derek Anderson. But as soon as Lorenz Larkin signed, I was like, if you don't give him the title shot, give me Michael Venom Page. And it just hasn't happened.
Okay. But look, so I talked to Lorenz Larkin after the Japan fight where he looked like ridiculous. And I asked him about that fight specifically. They're both under the same management firm and all that. Mm. They're both Paradigm guys. Yeah. And that's kind of part of it.
They're also really good friends. Like Lorenz I got the sense that they became really good friends during fight week. Like they were on the same card and they just became like buddies. No friends in MMA. Fight each other.
Savages. Be a savage.
You even heard Jiří tonight. Jiří's like, he's from the Czech Republic, and he's like, Blachowicz is my neighbor. I like him, but if it's for a title, whatever. Yeah,
I'll knock his head off. So
there you go.
Maybe. And listen, I'll be there. I will be at that Bellator card.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have some excellent coverage then next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I will be there on Wednesday, and it should be fun.
Alex Savas will be. Maybe Alex Savas will come on the post show. She's working that card.
Nice.
There we go.
I dropped my laptop. Well, I was gonna say, what about this, Alex? But I guess we now know why
Alex.
Why she's called Cool Alex.
I think it's time for you to go to bed, Alex.
I was gonna say, I think they need me to help with stories. Maybe I should leave.
I think you should take Bellator off, go find a new color to paint your wall, and then get it together.
That was better than the landline.
I have my laptop balanced on some books here, okay, to get it to the proper height. So it's at a proper height. So I'm not, I've got it exactly where I need to be, but I just got a little, I guess I'm talking about Cool Alex.
I think it was just showing your ceiling fan for like a couple of seconds.
I was thinking, is there anything else? a poster of Jose up in my, no, okay, thank you. Nothing like that. So it's all good.
Oh, man.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Oh, that was great. All right, let's go to the peeps. Good God.
Okay. Oh. Oh God. Sorry. I love you, AK. I love you.
I'm not leaving on that note. I'm answering this first question, then I'm leaving.
All right. Oh, sorry.
That was from our preview. That was from earlier today. Earlier. Yeah, about the question.
All right. Okay, let's talk about this. We didn't talk about it, but. Ooh, too small. Doop.
The Marcos DQ was crazy.
It happened.
I mean, AK, let me ask you this. Was this like the worst possible result for Random Marcos? Like, could this have gone any worse?
No, because obviously I think the opposite. I think straight up lost would have guaranteed she was cut, right? Even though it was an exciting fight, even if they like one fight in the night or something, she probably wouldn't get a cut. Based on what we were saying earlier, she would have been below 500 in her overall pro record. It would have been her fourth straight loss.
I think it's more than that.
It would have been her fourth straight, fifth in her last six fights. So I thought this one, that the fact that she was competitive looked good. And two, the fact that it had a screwy finish, I feel like you can't cut her off of that. I think Pinheiro was like on, well, I don't, it was only the first round, but I mean, I think Pinheiro looked good. I think she was the favorite to win. I think she was going to win, but we'll never know if she would have won a decision now because the way it ended, or if she would have finished Marcos, what have you. So it was crazy. I know, Casey, you didn't love the call. Just sort of in advance, I'll say it was an illegal strike. I think it did a lot of damage. I don't think Pinheiro was necessarily acting. I know Felder kind of threw that out there in the broadcast. She was definitely hurt. And mainly because I think she was winning the fight, which is why to me it wouldn't make sense that she would want to take a way out like that. But who knows? Maybe she was tiring if you want to, you know, go down that road. But I'm okay with the call that was made by Mark Smith. It was a crappy way to end the fight. And then, Casey, you're more saying you wish it was a no contest. Is that right?
Yeah, I absolutely wish there was no contest. I believe it was completely accidental. I mean, considering the first kick was right to her shoulder, and then the second kick just, you know, just kind of went up, you know, a little bit more. I just thought it was accidental. I mean, the rules are set up that way to protect the person on the bottom, but we wind up having the situation where it's the person on top that's the person that's, you know, or you know me. And I just think it's a stupid rule. I mean, I thought Angela Hill tweeted out the same thing. She says up kicks from the person on bottom should be absolutely legal. That's not the intent of the rule, to protect the person above. It's protect the person on the bottom. And I just think it's a crappy rule. I hate ground the knees. I hate that the ground the knees are illegal. I hate even more that up kicks are illegal. So it's a stupid rule. And if that lady wasn't faking that kick, Random Marcos has the most vicious up kick ever in MMA. That's all. It looked odd. I'm not gonna say she milked it, but it looked strange. And you know, I think we were all thinking what Paul Felder was saying. That's all.
Did you see the video that Helen Yee posted of Pinheiro getting like carried out? Like I'm surprised they didn't like force them to bring a stretcher out if she can't physically get to the back on her own will. You know what I mean? Like, where's the stretcher? I thought that was kind of weird.
It was an odd situation.
Oh yeah, I'm watching it now. She's literally like being carried like a baby out to the back by her coach.
Like, I mean, how many knockouts have we seen in this sport? And like people get to get carried out like a baby. Like, there was just legal or not legal strikes. That's just kind of, come on.
It was odd. Yeah,
it's odd. I'm not saying she's faking, because who knows, but it was odd. We've been working in this sport long enough to recognize that's odd. That's all.
It was strange. Casey, just go all in on it. Stop backtracking like Felder did. Felder, I think, was feeling it. I think in the back of his mind, he was thinking about, oh my gosh, if I go too in on this narrative, Joshua Fabia is going to get another call from Fabia for you know, my disrespect of the fighters and for creating these negative storylines. So I do think the influence of Fabio was felt tonight, of course, and Paul Felder would not want to make that man mad.
It's because Fabio taught Diego Sanchez the heart punch. Remember?
Yeah.
What he was saying about Michael Chiesa? He caught Diego Sanchez the punch of death. He clearly taught Random Marcos the upkick of death.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I thought the case of it wasn't it a death choke or something, or maybe both.
What a, it's like a regardless, choke. It's all skull. <under. laughs>
We know Felder, he graduated the school of self-awareness. That's all I can say.
He did. Well, that's why he has a broadcasting gig and someone like Josh Fabian.
All right.
Yeah. Fabia is the Gary Busey of MMA. There's no doubt about that. And Paul Felder with his commentary, he was doing like the verbal hokey pokey. He was putting the thought in, then he took it out, and then he kind of put it back in again, and then he shook it all about. Like, he did all that stuff. Does Yuri get a title shot? If he wants it, yes. It just depends.
It's up to the UFC. I'd still say to give him Ratchik just to have those two on standby for Jan and Glover. Because like we all agreed Corey Anderson probably deserved a title shot and he's had to fight Jan. Should have just put those all on the same card rather than a week. What I don't want is them fighting like a week apart. I get why, because Ratchik and Yuri rules as a 5-round fight, but that fight's not going to go 5 rounds. So might as well just make it a 3-round fight and make it the co-main event.
I hope Yuri gets it. That would most likely mean that he would have to wait till December at earliest, maybe the new
probably
year.
Next year.
Oh, even next year, yeah. Depending how crazy the Jan Glover fight goes. But yeah, that is a long time to wait.
If that's the issue.
Yeah.
If Europe opens up anytime soon and they want to make like a Ratchik Yuri like main event somewhere in that part of the world because they're both from that area, I'm all about that too. Like just a number one contenders fight for like the Eastern European, that'd be great.
Do you get some and I know they're very different, but some kind of almost Justin Gaethje vibes from Yuri?
Tony Ferguson, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Justin Gaethje in the sense that he just came into the UFC kind of like not as a prospect, but basically, here, we're going to give you a top-level fight, and you win this fight, you're pretty
Michael
much...
Chandler. Michael Chandler, same thing.
Yeah, that just, yeah. You win exciting, you're there, you know? So, you only fought one time in the UFC, yeah. So, that's cool.
Good. Yeah. Yuri's
kind of getting the success that Manel Cape
I'm sure they wanted Manel Cape to do, but it didn't work out for him. And Manel Cape had a shorter path at flyweight.
Yeah.
One win, he probably would have got the title shot.
Yep.
100%.
One more question for me, and I better
do my part for the writing.
Okay.
Thank God.
Oh no, sorry, that was a mistake. I didn't mean to.
Okay. Well, again, it's not my birthday, but I welcome all the love.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to write that up there.
Happy Halloween.
That's fine. You know, we all make mistakes.
This is just for Jose and me, I guess, because I know you guys are going to do your show tomorrow.
I don't hate this fight. John Deegan says Reyes versus Anthony Smith. I don't hate it because there was some sort of beef, I think, in 2018, but I think they squashed it. It was mostly like someone alleged turned down a fight and vice versa. I don't hate that fight at all, but if they want to do like Reyes versus like Jimmy Crute, I don't hate that either. Yeah, I'm fine with any of those guys in the top seven area. Even Santos would be a banger, but then I don't know if you want the loser of that would be on a 4-fight losing streak between Reyes and Santos. I don't think you want that to play out.
Yeah. We'll as you said, we'll talk more in our matchmaking show, but I'll just say I'm probably angling more toward we don't have to keep putting Reyes in there with top 15 guys. I'm sure he wants to again. But I would love to go outside of the top 15 and just look a little bit further down. Maybe get the loser of some upcoming matchup that's coming up. Again, I'll have to listen to the next one to find
Craig,
my pick. But
Craig and Jamal Hill, I think.
Sure. I mean, I think they're right out there. Yeah, exactly. Right. And
is Serkanov matched up with anyone? Serkanov's coming off a loss, right?
Yes. I don't think he's matched up.
Who did he just
right
lose to? Who does Serkanov
Ryan
lose
Spann.
To?
Ryan
Spann. Spann, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Serkanov Reyes, I think that'd be a scrap too.
We can go low. We don't need to. Yeah, let's dial because again, these are three really tough fights. John Jones, Yablovich, your Prochka. There's no easy fights at the stage of where Dominic Reyes is right now. But we can kind of try to help this guy rebuild a little bit. You know, I think there's still a lot that Reyes has to offer to the UFC. So
this is where I think boxing does get it right. If it was Dominic Reyes was a boxer, he would be fighting someone that. I don't know. Not even
you're fighting OSP.
No, not I was thinking. I was thinking.
He already fought.
I was thinking Kudalaba.
That's what I'm saying. Again,
Yeah, Cuadrelaba or Jacoby, like kind of that area for Reyes. That's why if I'm Reyes' management, you know, Reyes, you know, guys are big egos that they wanted to give me, you know, give me the top guy, you know, the biggest guy, you know, but I would pay someone outside the top 15 or right around outside the top 10 at minimum.
Who's Devin Clark matched up with?
He was supposed to fight next week, I think.
What about Menafield? I know he just.
Oh, no, he was supposed to fight tonight. He was supposed to fight Cuadrelaba tonight.
Right.
And he had to pull out. That's why Menafield got him.
Menafield. Someone like Dominic Reyes, Menafield. Those fights kind of make sense.
Nah, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. You can't put Menafield in that guy.
Shooting it down already.
What about Shogun?
You can't do that. That's better. I don't mind. That's fine.
Okay. Shogun's probably on his way out. If Reyes gets the win, he gets the rub of beating a former champ. If he loses, then might as well just start losing weight.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, Menafield just not enough experience. That's like way too big of a mismatch. No disrespect to Menafield. I just feel like.
What about the loser of Jamahal Hill and Paul Craig? Like Craig and Jamahal Hill are what, 14, 15? Something like that.
I think that's a fine idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're both 14.
Paul Craig is the only one that's beaten Ankalaev. Remember, he got that like submission at 459.
Like last second. Yeah.
Yeah. Saved his career.
Yep.
The
problem is so like light heavyweight division has had so many like people leave, like Jones, Rumble, Corey Anderson, like they all left.
DC.
Yeah. Like DC. They all left like in the span of like 2 years. So like 2 years ago, if we have all those guys, like Jamahal Hill is not ranked. Like Jimmy Crute's probably not ranked. Ryan Spann's probably not ranked. So like a lot of these unranked guys just happen to find themselves 15, 14, 13.
You can do the rematch of those, Demir. It's not a horrible idea because that fight was pretty controversial.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Don't give him Ankalaev. Please don't do that.
Yeah. Terrible idea. Or middleweight that wants to go up, maybe.
Yeah.
Like remember we fought Weidman?
Reyes versus Luke Rockhold.
No, I want Anthony Smith to fight Luke Rockhold if Luke Rockhold.
Yeah.
That's definitely the fight to make. I don't know why. I don't know what we're waiting on with that one. But are you leaving us, AK? Is that what's about to happen?
Well, I think so.
I think we're all leaving. I think
we're all leaving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, all right. You guys are done. You don't have to leave just because of me. Am I shutting the show down?
No,
me.
We can.
Oh, I guess
we're done an hour, right? Yeah. Has this been an hour?
Oh wow.
Yeah, an hour and 10 minutes almost.
Holy all right, shnikes. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't talk about Loma. I know way early in the card, but I love watching Loma fight. I'm really bummed she didn't get a post-fight interview because I love hearing her speak.
Yes.
And
I saw someone answer. I asked that and someone answered, I think with a somewhat reasonable answer, like, oh, it wasn't like one of the top. It didn't fit in because it went to a decision and it wasn't like it was kind of confusing. Like it wasn't at the top of 30 or the top of the hour or something. But I'm like, was she literally the only one who didn't get? Maybe I shouldn't say that. No, she wasn't. She was the only one that didn't get.
She didn't speak to us on Fight Island either.
Huh? Maybe she's not comfortable doing interviews. So it could be. Yeah.
No. She's fine doing that. Fine. The UFC hasn't, given her, presented her for, the cameras.
She was the only one. She was the. I'm looking at the lineup now. She was the only winning fighter that did not get an injury. Oh, Pinheiro, obviously. But other than that, she was the only winning fighter. That's weird.
It is weird. I don't get it. Oh, maybe because they didn't have a proper translator.
That's the other thing. Yeah.
That could
have been the issue on Fight Island as well. Yeah. I love Loma. I think Loma looked great. She was expected to win this fight. Give Sam Hughes another chance.
Sure.
I think this matchmaking is insane. Tisha Torres on. I think she was short notice. I assume.
Yeah, it was short notice. Yeah.
Whatever.
Less than a week.
That's an insane to find Tisha Torres in your UFC debut. What? And then and Loma Lukwunmi, who's just, again, it's a blue chip 115er. I mean, I know we all, she's really a 105er, but
yeah.
I was going to say,
she's small. Yeah.
Loma looked like just thicker than usual in there. Sure.
Because she's not like cutting weight. Is there a walking?
No, I know, I know. No, no. I'm saying like from the Fight Island card. Like she spent time bulking up.
Yeah, I think
maybe
she did.
Maybe she fought Jin Yu Fran. She's like, oh shit, like I gotta put on some sort of
something.
She just looked, she physically, like she obviously is not, she's still the smallest 115er, but she just looked more muscular in there to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But Sam Hughes is good. She was winning some of those striking exchanges. Mm-hmm. Like She's a talent, man. Let's please give her someone that's closer to her experience. Oh, well, I shouldn't say that because I guess technically she has more pro MMA fights than Loma. But you know, I think people know what I mean. More, combat sports experience. Yes, combat sports. Because Loma's very experienced in other things. But yeah, give Sam Hughes. If Sam Hughes gets cut, I mean, it wouldn't be the worst thing because I guess she could go back to LFA or she could go, you know, get more experience elsewhere and come back. But I'd like to see her get one more shot in the UFC.
Yeah, dude, she brought it tonight. That was a scrap. She was the biggest dog on the card. It was a close fight.
Good fight. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, good fight.
Positivity, right. Guys. Positivity. That's what I like to hear.
And Felipe Calares is just the toughest dude on planet Earth.
Holy crap. Are you kidding me?
Wow. That was some opening fight. That was wild. But all right, I guess we're done.
KB Bular, keep your head up, buddy. Keep your head up, KB.
All right. Yeah.
Just now don't everybody go. Now everyone go. Now everyone go watch the highlights. Andrew Ruiz, Chris Arreola, because that fight ruled.
Yes, and AK and I will be back tomorrow morning, probably like 8 hours from now, recording on to the next one, matchmaking. And thank you to Dustin Jacoby and Iwan Kutalaba. We don't have to matchmake for either of those guys. So there you go. Our show will be a little bit shorter. That means more time for listener suggestions. So hit us up and you'll hear them all tomorrow. So for Jose, AK, E. Casey Lydon, I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. Good night, everybody. Happy birthday, AK.
Stop it.
Listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.